Well, Happy New Year to you, Congressman Chris Gibson of New York's 19th District. Great to have you in the studio with us.
Well, Happy New Year to you too, Alan, and great to be back. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, before we go on, I have to say that I have a no food rule that I'm trying to establish here. Because, you know, I got to be pretty fat over the Christmas thing. And
come on.
I've been really working on it now.
Listen, the listeners know how thin you are, and so they're not going
to
buy it.
And you show up with a couple of beautiful chocolate chip cookies. Now, chocolate chip cookie to me is, you know, there's nothing better in the world than a chocolate chip cookie.
Got to have the milk with it.
Support our dairy. There is nothing. There you go. There is nothing better than a chocolate chip cookie. So now you have really strained my integrity as a human being.
Oh.
I think what I'll do is put them out front, and they'll go like crazy. So we once went to Tanglewood with you. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. What a great evening.
And Mary Jo made, allegedly made, fried chicken, and it was good.
Yeah, no, she's I'll tell you what, a remarkable cook and in every respect baker. I'm very blessed, as you can see, although my waistline tends to show it more than yours, but nevertheless.
Now, we had a conversation not that long ago, I hate to interrupt the flow of important politics, but about a new bagel place in your hometown of Kinderhook. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, my goodness gracious. We definitely have to meet there. Broad Street, right there on Broad Street in Kinderhook. And, you know, they actually boil the bagels right there on site. And it is something else. You know, it reminds me, when Mary Jo and I were first dating, she actually was living in the West Village. The Army at that point had sent me to Cornell. I was in a graduate program preparing to teach at West Point.
And what street did she live on in the West?
West 10th.
Oh, boy.
On West 10th, right near 7th.
No, I know West 10th Street very well.
Yeah, and right in between like Hudson and,
sure,
and 7th. But, you know, one of the things we'd love to do on a Saturday morning was to get up and walk over to NYU Square, and we'd get bagels there. And amazing bagels. And so, you know, when Paulie opened up Broad Street, it just really brought me back. That this is such an authentic New York bagel. It's fantastic. I recommend to everybody out there.
Well, that's really good of you. And we have a great bagel place in Great Barrington also, but I'm sure we'll hear from a lot of people who have bagel places they want us to know about. And now we've really dug our own, you know, pit here. Okay, so let's talk about George Pataki getting out of the race for president. What could he have been thinking in the first place?
Well, look, I mean, George's a friend of mine.
Is he? He's your friend?
Yeah, I mean, I have admiration for him. I understand his decision. It just wasn't getting traction there. You know, I'm wishing him all the best. He has been helpful to me, not only in terms of, you know, helping me raise money and endorsement, but really in terms of just thought processes for approaching issues and for ways to communicate. So I certainly wish him all the best in this year and the years to come.
Well, you're obviously a gentleman, but that's not the question I asked you. I asked you, what could he have been thinking? I mean, you know, look, you're exploring a race for governor, and a lot of people talking about you, and a lot of people saying, well, you know, he could really be the candidate. When I heard that Pataki was getting into this, I was scratching my head, not because of any particular position of mine, but because I didn't understand why he thought, you know, after having been governor long ago now, he could be presidential timber.
Well, you ought to have him on the show because, you know, he could talk about these things.
I'd love to.
But, you know, I think that he always had a reason why in previous races it just wasn't working out. And I think he wanted to give it a go. He had some things he felt very strongly about. He had a message that I think could have gained traction, but it just didn't happen.
Well, Chris Gibson, was the message that modern Republicanism had to be more like you than the other guys who were running for president?
Well,
I mean, you are a reasonable person, I can tell you that.
Look, I mean, being a geek myself, I did watch a few of his speeches in Iowa. I did think he was focusing on the right issues. He was talking about growth in the economy so everyone would have a chance at the American dream. He was talking about balancing decision-making so that we look to the needs of this current generation and to future generations. And he was talking about protecting this exceptional way of life. He would often refer to a couple things, that he grew up on a farm. And he understood the needs of farmers out in Iowa. And he also talked about the fact that a couple of kids, of his kids, are now serving in the United States military as a segue to talk about the importance of national security. So, look, I mean, you know, and I certainly expected, as I was watching these events, that I would have critique for him. But I must say, I came away thinking, I thought he did pretty well. It's just...
What do you mean did well? He couldn't break the 1% mark.
Well, it's true. I mean, look, there are some things that are sort of intangible that go beyond the issues. And I just think for our former governor, it just was an issue of traction for them in terms of the relevancy of his previous service and what he was offering going forward. So, yeah, he just wasn't able to connect.
Chris.
Yeah.
He didn't even get attacked by Trump. That's how, you know, I mean, Trump attacks anybody who looks like they're coming up. But he didn't even get attacked by Trump.
Well, you know, again, you know, I'd say, Alan, you know, I would recommend you have him on the show.
Oh, but, believe me, he's got an open invitation anytime here. But, I was just talking to my producer, Ian Pickus, about this to make sure that we get an invitation out to him and say, Chris Gibson says you should come on WAMC.
But, you know, I think one of the things that anyone can take away from this is there sort of is a shelf life, if you will, a half life that when you come out of service of a certain position of any kind and you look to sort of take it to the next stage, that it's difficult when you have such a
shelf
long
life. Yeah, I mean, that. It's a good concept.
There's such a period of time of between when he finished his service and then ran this time that I think it was difficult for him. And I think he would even say that if he was on the show now. But that doesn't take away from the service that he did render and my giving him my very best wishes going forward and my gratitude for what he's done.
And that's what I like about you. I don't agree with you, but I find you to be a really nice, good guy and a gentleman. And that I would expect no less of you than that remark. Now, if Trump becomes the nominee, will you support him?
Well, look at this, Alan. We're not there yet. I mean, we're going to have a series of processes that develop here, including a series of caucuses and primaries over the next several months. So let's just wait and see what happens. We can certainly revisit this. I sit with you about every 90 days or so,
sure.
And if that ends up
coming
to pass, we can certainly talk about that. Well, I will tell you this, though. And maybe we can continue this in the next segment, but I'm underwhelmed with all the campaigns to date.
I'm with you.
Republican and Democrat.
I'm happy with you.
I want to see more inspiration. I want to see a positive vision that rallies Americans and unites us behind a vision that certainly grows the economy, provides more opportunity, sees rising wages, sees us balance current and future needs, sees us, and also provides vision for how we protect this exceptional way of life. And I see less of that and more attacking on both sides. I certainly, you know, there's a moment to differentiate, to be sure, in politics, but I don't see enough positive explanation and vision for how we can rally our country. I want to see more of that.
Well, you know, I suspect that these folks are doing what they think is right. And I'm a little scared by the fact that in your party, which has always historically been the party of Lincoln and afterwards and, you know, a reasonable party, I'm a little bit concerned that all that seems to have disappeared and it's the guy who can throw the biggest right-wing bomb feels he's getting elected.
Well, you know, as I said, I mean, I'm unimpressed and underwhelmed as well. But look, I say the same for the Democratic candidates. You know, I would say that for Hillary Clinton, I mean, just I look at the corruption in terms of, you know, the way that she approached her position and also her husband raising money for that foundation. A lot of unanswered questions there about access and, you know, about contributions that came to that foundation. So and that's only the tip of the iceberg. So, I mean, I have critique on both sides, the Republican and Democratic side. And I've seen a lot of use of fear on both sides, on Democratic side, too. I mean, they all point to the Republicans. But, you know, I'm waiting to see, well, who's that candidate that can rise above this? Because there are, I think, and certainly an opportunity for a very positive message that is pro-growth, where everybody is included in that vision, where fiscal responsibility and also protecting this exceptional way of life. So I remain optimistic that in the coming months you'll see more of that, I hope, going forward.
Chris Gibson, always wonderful to have you with us. When we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you about some of the scandals in Albany.